show that seeks the truth. This is the Gary Doyle Show on 570 News.
It is 1:33. The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, there's a group I've got some time for with their studies. They're out with another one. This one may seem a little obvious on the surface, but I want to talk about it. New research shows that alcohol and or drug consumption influences teen sexual behavior. One might argue that would affect all of us, not just teens. The consumption of alcohol and or drugs. Wow. This is, you know, as a dad, these are subjects I think that we have to talk about when we're given the opportunities. The study's researcher is Peter John Mitchell. He joins us on the phone lines now from Ottawa. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gary. Thanks.
Good to get you on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Is there anything surprising here, though?
I mean, you're right. It is intuitive that that teens who are maybe involved in marijuana, alcohol, tobacco are more likely to be sexually active. And the study found, conversely, that kids that refrain from those activities tend to be less likely to be involved in sexual activity compared to the national average. So, yeah, certainly it does seem on the surface that, yeah, this is pretty intuitive. However, I think when we address these issues, we tend to look at them one issue at a time. So if there is a son or daughter is using marijuana or using a drug, we tend to focus just on the drug use problem rather than looking at the bigger profile and looking at what's going on, other areas and other risk behaviors that might be involved. We kind of zero in on that one without kind of looking at the bigger picture of what's going on.
So what are the bigger issues?
Well, certainly for our own particular study, I should say, we used that data from Statistics Canada just to look at the use of marijuana, alcohol, tobacco, and a few other things as well. And certainly one of the things that we found as well that was quite concerning was that in the survey asked questions of girls and boys separately about various things. And one of the things we asked about was taking attempted suicide and considering attempted suicide very seriously, and we found that there was a correlation there between, particularly for teen girls, with having considered that within the previous year and being sexually active. And we ran that through another statistical model, basically, and found that that was even that was very strong statistically. So that tells us that there's some sort of link there, and that's kind of concerning that some of these activities may, in some way, be connected to emotional health and mental health issues as well.
And sense of well-being, I guess that all falls under mental health, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Yeah, certainly self-esteem and how young people view themselves, that was all wrapped up into, you know, how they behave sometimes, and wrapped up into things like substance abuse can play definitely a role in that.
I have said repeatedly on the show that I think one of the biggest tragedies we face is teen suicide.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's something that's very concerning and something we should all be all aware of. And
but this is just another factor, though, is it not, Peter? Like, this isn't, we're not saying that the majority of teens that do attempt or follow through on suicide do so because they had a bad sexual experience.
No, I wouldn't be, that would not be a good read of the information. I think what it simply is saying is that teens that have dealt with these issues in terms of emotional health, mental health, may be more likely to engage in sexual behavior. It's certainly not the only, factor that would be going on, but it's one that we studied in our study. And we've looked at other studies as well, and other studies have attempted to look at chronological order, which comes first and that sort of thing. And there was a study in the U.S. that looked at drug taking and depression together, and then looked at that occurrence in early teenage years, and then found that those kids were much more likely to be exhibiting signs of depression in later years. So that's sort of a sequencing, which I think is interesting. Certainly it's very hard to say what causes what, but it's certainly, I think what the study does is it provides a profile, and not all kids that are depressed are going to be sexually active, and certainly not the other way around as well. But certainly we can begin to draw a picture and in terms of how we approach the issues and how we approach our kids.
My kids are grown now, but I remember when they were born, I asked for the manual. Apparently there isn't one.
No such manual exists, no. But, you know, there are things that parents can do, and very early on. We did a study with a similar data set earlier in the fall, and looking at what things do parents do that help or hinder risk-taking behaviors, in particular sexual activity. And we found that even behaviors very early on in a child's life can be correlated with behaviors later in life. For instance, one of the things that we found were that the parents that were prone to smoking or in particularly drinking and drinking to excess often, we found that those kids were more likely to be sexually active, more likely to be involved in alcohol themselves. And probably what's happening there is there's some modeling of values and of particular behaviors as well. It's very difficult to be, for instance, drinking to excess often and then telling your kid not to do it or expecting that they won't do it, they won't follow that behavior. So certainly the ways that we model is certainly one issue. The other is just the type of parenting style that we mold in, that we do. For instance, a lot of research has been done on parenting styles and what's effective, and researchers often stress that a warm, caring, and communicative relationship with young people is important, but also setting limits and boundaries. And it's really up to parents to help teens articulate and understand what the values are going to be for them, and to really cast a vision for the future as well. Where is your life going? What do you want to do? What do you like to do? How do we help you get there?
You're not suggesting, are you, that we walk the talk as parents? You're not suggesting that I can't pass on those words of wisdom from my dad, do as I say, not as I do?
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, they are watching, and how we express those values does matter, and it does leave an impact, absolutely.
Wow. Well, it's fascinating stuff, because I think what it does is it allows me to be able to quantify it as an argument.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, again, as you said, it seems intuitive, but when you actually look at a large body of data and actually see it there in the print, it does leave a mark. It does leave an impression, for sure.
Because it's not just, and then here's the thing, Peter. I mean, we've had the high school both my boys went to have had a number of suicides over the years. Both my sons have lost friends that way, and I find it, and it's pretty, we're out in the suburbs. We're out in the suburbs in Waterloo. You know what I mean? So I don't want people to think that this is an inner city issue, that this is a socioeconomic issue. This is an issue, period.
Yeah, absolutely. And in our study, we've attempted to hold constant things like economic background and that sort of thing as well. So yeah, this is definitely, it's not just related to one particular region. It's certainly something that all parents, I don't think we need to be afraid of, but we need to be informed. And I think when we're informed, we're empowered.
Very well put. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Gary.
Good to get you. Bye-bye.
All right,
bye. Peter John Mitchell is with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. This study shows that teens' use of alcohol and drugs contributes to their sexual activity. And there is also a strong association between sexually active young teenage girls and attempted suicide.